If you would, open up your Bibles to the epistle that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look at some things this morning, I think, that will bless us and encourage us as we come into this Thanksgiving season. And this season, this Christmas season, this season of love. You know, you and I just think we've got the love of God in our life, the love that never fails, the love that overcomes all things. And so with that love of God, you and I, we need to just learn how to rest and let it be active in our life and let it guide us and direct us. And so we're going to look at three things that the Spirit of God laid on my heart this morning. He wants us to think about and remind ourselves, stir ourselves up about the love of God, about the sacrifice of God, and talking about in and through Jesus, and then the light of God in and through Jesus. So you remember those three things, and we're going to pull them from our opening text. And the Spirit of God, what He spoke into my life, He said, remind everybody that Jesus is our model to follow. Jesus is our model to follow. And isn't that the truth? You know, people are following a lot of things this morning, and they're trusting in a lot of things, and everything that they follow and trust in that's not in and of Jesus, it's going to go by the wayside. But Jesus is that word that abides forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the words of the Lord, Jesus, will abide forever. All right, let's look at, let's take just a moment. Let's read the first 10 verses in this fifth chapter, and we'll let them speak for themselves. This is such a powerful set of teaching that Paul gives the church. He says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in, number one, what we're talking about, walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice, number two, to God, a sweet smelling savior. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, silly talk, jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain, with empty words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now, say now, ye are light. Number three, ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable, teaching, guiding, a model for what is acceptable in the Lord. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you.
Yes.
Lord, we know it comes straight out of heaven into our lives at the time, Lord, for a purpose, for a reason, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Let us open our hearts and let us receive this as great. Change our mind and our way of
Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for once again for being here. Thank you for honoring the word. This is an exciting time that you and I are living in. We're seeing, I mean, every time you look at some form of media, you're seeing prophecy being unveiled. Did you see where our banks in New York, three major banks are bringing forth the cryptocurrency, the digital currency? Come on, everything's moving closer to Revelation 13, quicker and quicker. Everything is being unveiled right before our eyes. You and I need to be excited. We need to be awake. Don't let anything rock you to sleep. Keep your eyes and your focus on Jesus, because there's things happening. And you and I, we have a destiny. We have a future in Him. Amen. All right. So this morning, I want you just to be lifted up in the Word of God. I want you to be able to add to your faith, and be able to loose the faith that God has placed in you to see some things happen in those prayers, in those visions, in those quiet things that the Lord has revealed in your spirit. And this is how we can make them come to pass. Amen. By acting on the Word of God. So notice what he said there in back in verses 1 and 2. He said, be ye therefore followers. Be an imitator of God as dear children. In other words, when you and I realize that we can be to God just like Jesus was, because Jesus said that the works I do, I want you to do them as well. You can do them in a greater measure, not in greater power, but in a greater measure, a greater number, because he was one Holy Spirit filled Jesus in the earth. But you and I were the many membered body of Jesus in the earth. Amen. And so he said, I want you to be an imitator. It's actually where we get our English word mimic from, mimetase in the Greek. But he said, I want you to be able to see that you can do that. Not only can you do that, this is not a suggestion, it's a command. Amen. And so he said, just simply be what God has called you to be. And so think about it. He said, as we do that, as dear children, as we have that humble attitude, as we have that expectancy, you know, you tell your child something, they look up at it in your eyes and they just take you at your word, right? And that's what we're to do to God. We're to look up in his eyes through the Spirit by Jesus and just say, Lord, I take you at your word. If you say I can do something, I believe I can do it. Amen. And so he said, as dear children, he said, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. So I need to realize that the love walk is going to determine everything about my life. So Jesus is my model to follow. And so the Bible is real clear. It tells us in Romans 5:8 that God commendeth, he exhibited, he demonstrated his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so God said, I don't think you understand my love. And so I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm going to reveal it to you. I'm going to show it to you. And so that's what he done. He sent Jesus, and Jesus become the love that is on the pages of this book. And he stood up and he become the love that is in your life. He become the love that saved you, that brought you and I out of darkness and placed us in the light. Amen. And so we know that the world may not understand, but you and I, we know this morning the love of God is real because we feel him in here. We know that he abides with us. And so he said, simply, I want you to walk in that love. I want you to be a model of Jesus in the earth. And so let's look at some things I think that will help us. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Colossians. And let's lay this love out in our lives. Look at Colossians 3:14. Now, in the King James, Colossians 3:14 says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now, you can look in the Amplified, and I don't know, we used to have it, and something happened, we don't have it any longer, we got to get it back. We paid for it. But anyway, you look in the Amplified, you can look in the English Standard Version, you can look at some of your other versions, and it talks about this bond of perfectness as an example of, it's the glue, we could say, that holds everything together. That the love of God holds everything together. And of course, that works perfectly because if you turn to the first chapter and the 17th verse in this same epistle of Colossians, it says that in Jesus, all things are consisting. All things are being held together because Jesus is the demonstrative, the exhibited love of God. And so you and I, if we want things to stay together in our lives, if we want our witness to stay together, if we want our testimony to stay together, if we want those prayers that we're praying for our lost loved ones, our lost neighbors, those around us, then we've got to walk in this love. Amen. And believe that love is going to hold things together. And this morning, I believe that you may be in some situations and circumstances where you see some crumbling around the foundation. You see some cracks. There's some problem there. Areas in your life, in my life, guess what? Jesus can hold it together. Amen. The devil, he come to steal, kill, and destroy. He came to tear things up. But Jesus came not only to put the impossible back together, but he came to put it together where it would stay. Amen. And so he said for you and I to walk in that love. Walk in that love that will take everything that's broken and busted and let him put it back together. So start speaking the love of God. Start speaking Jesus over situations that look like that they have no chance of surviving. They have no chance of staying together. And see what happens. Amen. See how God starts doing some miraculous things. So If Jesus is that love and he is, it holds it all together, we need to look and see, how can I walk in that love? How can I let that example come forth out of my life? Go to John chapter 13 and let's look at some scriptures. Let's read verse 15 first. John 13, 15. Jesus has just got through showing his role as a servant. And you and I, we are saved children of God that serve. Amen. Come on, say, I'm a saved child of God that serves. Amen. So this is an example to us. And look what he says in verse 15. Jesus says, for I've given you an example. I've gave you a model to follow. I've given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. So how can I walk in love? I realize how much grace God's gave me. And how can I be a model of that love to other people? Then I realize that I'm an imperfect person, that I've got problems, I've got situations and circumstances that I'm overcoming day by day. I'm being tried, I'm being tested, but I'm being, as I go through the fire, I'm being made more like Jesus. Amen. You're being made more like Jesus. And so he's gave me an example. And so that example is that I let the love of God change me. Now, you and I, we like instant change, and thank God, sometimes God does things instantly, but most of the time in your life, you're going to be changed moment by moment. When I get closer to God, I start talking more like God. I start exhibiting the traits and the manners of God. I start looking over faults and situations. I start having hope. I start having faith that sees the impossible. But when I pull away from God, I start looking more like things in the way the world looks. Amen. I lose my hope. I lose my confidence, and I become critical. We don't need to be critical. Thank God he wasn't critical with us. Amen. That spirit of the Antichrist is a very critical spirit. It wants to cause you and I to judge people and judge situations. Hey, we don't know. Unless we've walked where they walked, we don't know what they're going through. We don't know what they're dealing with, and it's not our place. Amen? And so I want to be in this place right here, what he said. Now drop down for sake of time to verse 31, and let's talk about this example, Jesus, the model to follow of love. Then Jesus, therefore, when he was gone out, then Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Verse 32, if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and straightway glorify him. In other words, the model for you and I to follow is that we're to be like Jesus. Jesus walked in the love of God. He demonstrated, he exhibited the love of God, and he brought God glory. But you and I, we can bring God glory when we let the love of God that never fails be operative in our life. When we let the love of God that forgives a multitude of sins. Then we don't make excuses for sins, but we're able to forgive sin. In other words, you and I were able to allow the Spirit of God to put a love in us that when we look at that person and they, no matter what they have done and what they have said, we're able to see Jesus in their life. We're able to see the grace that God wants, that God gave us, and he wants us to be able to give to them. That way grace will become something that's not just a word that is spoken, but it's something that's tangible. Something that you can put your hand in. Something you can put your arms around. Amen? The grace of God is not just a magical word. It's something that will change people's lives. You and I are who we are, where we're at today, because God's grace reached down in the slime of my life and said, I'm not worried about getting dirty, because dirty don't stick to me. He said, I'm worried about cleaning you up, boy. And I'll reach right down to where you're at, and I'll pull you up out of that if you allow me to. Amen. That's the love of God. And so that's what you and I have got to operate in. We've got to be that example, that model to follow in the love of God and bring the Father glory. Verse 33, little children, yet a little while I am with you, you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, in other words, Jesus said, this is the time. You've got to hear this. And if it was the time then, how much more 2,000 years later is it? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, I love this because now the devil uses this to get people on the defense, but you and I need to look at it from the perspective of God. Jesus said that I could love the way that God the Father had put the love, had demonstrated the love in him as. So, in other words, Jesus, who is the personification of God, who is that revelation of that love, he done it because God put the love in him. This morning, you can love because you don't have to drum it up. You don't have to have a feeling. I don't know about you, and I'll just be honest with you. I hate feelings because my feelings are up and down. They're hot or cold. They're in the will of God. They're out of the will of God. Come on. But until I learn how to renew my soul, renew my mind, will, and emotions, my feelings to the Word of God, they're going to cause me problems. But love is not a feeling. Love is an action this morning. And so you and I can be in that place, in that position where we can follow the model of Jesus and we can love. And he said, I could do it just as Jesus did. Wow. Now think about that. Now that means, what does that mean to you and I? Jesus was in this same flesh as you and I. The Bible says he was. And the Bible says he was in all points tempted just like you and I, yet without sin. All right, but the Bible also tells us what is the very first fruit in Galatians chapter 5. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. So when you get saved, when you get born again, when you believe in the heart and confess with the mouth and the Holy Spirit comes in your life revealing Jesus, the Word of God, then all of a sudden, the love is the first fruit that comes out of your life. See, God doesn't ask you to do something that he doesn't supply the opportunity, the ability. It's inside of you. And so what you've got to say every day is, oh, I thank you, God. The love of God is in me right now. The love of God is active. It's operational. The love of God is my source of power. The love of God is my defense mechanism. See, not only does the love of God give you power, but it protects you. Because when you realize that people are human and you're going to encounter things and problems in this life, that love of God will come up and come around you and it'll be your source of protection. Amen? Isn't that exciting this morning? We got to hold on to that truth, that reality. And so he said in verse 35, he said, by this shall all men, by this love shall all men, the whole world shall know that you are my disciples. And this word know is from a Greek word that means they shall know absolutely without any doubt. How can they know that? Because scripture is being fulfilled. Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said that before the coming of the Lord, he said that love would what? It would wax cold. Are we seeing that right now? We're seeing that right now. I mean, there is a hard-heartedness. There is a critical spirit. The spirit of Antichrist is being revealed more and more and being embraced by a whole generation. And so you and I, we've got to cause the world to know absolutely that Jesus is our model to follow, that he's real, that the love of God is inside of us, that everything that we do and everything that we say is not by our own ability or our own understanding, but it's by the power of that very first fruit of the Spirit, love in your life. Amen. He said, by this shall all men, the whole world, know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. So all we've got to do is say, I'm not going to let my feelings dominate me. I'm going to let the fruit of the Spirit come out of my life. I'm going to let what God say. I'm going to let God be true and every man a liar, starting right here with myself. And I'm going to say, God, I'm going to follow that model. I believe with all of my heart that because Jesus demonstrated that love, that when he went away, he said, when I go away in John 14, he said, I'm not going to leave you orphanless, like an orphan. I'm going to leave you without a comforter. I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit. And that first fruit of the Spirit is love. Amen. So we've got that model to follow. So pull from that this morning. Trust God. Okay, let's go back to Ephesians and let's reread the first two verses. And look what he said. He said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and has given himself for us. Mark it down. Given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice. This is number 2, what we're looking at. A sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling Savior. Now, the devil tries to tell you and I constantly that nobody loves us, that nobody understands us. But God loved us so much, The Bible says that we have the assurance that because God gave us Jesus, that He freely wants to give us all things. He has all things for us. And so I need to see that Jesus said, I'm willing to die in their place. See, you and I, we don't have to die. Now we're going to, this flesh body, if the Lord tarries, it's going to go back to the earth. But you and I, we don't have to be, our spirit and our soul does not have to be separated from God. Isn't that exciting this morning? And so we have that assurance, and that we have that because God sent Jesus, this model to follow, that He was willing to lay down His life for you and I. And so that's our sacrifice. So let's look at some things, how we can apply this sacrifice. And go with me to the book of Hebrews. And let's look at Abel first, and then we're going to get into something else here that Paul brings out very clear. Just one verse talking about Abel in verse 4, Hebrews 11 and 4. Are you there? Thank you. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Notice this. Than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So we know the story of Cain and Abel. We could get into a big debate, but they come of age the same time. And they come of age at the same time, and they offered an offering at the same time. That needs to let you understand the time frame of what really happened in Genesis 3. So anyway, in that time frame, they come to offer this offer, and Cain, he just offers whatever he can get his hands on. But it tells us that Abel offered the best that he had. The best. And he done it out of obedience. This morning, you know what? God's not interested in all of those things that you and I have in our life that man is interested in. God's interested in the best that you have, and that's simply your heart for Him. That's all God wants. He wants you to be willing to put Him first. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you know, we've got these people right now that are saying, look at me, and they're putting all these millions of dollars in certain things. I'm telling you, God's not interested in any of that, because they're doing it for the reward here on earth. They're doing it for man to applaud them. Remember what Jesus said about the little lady and the two mites? Come on, her name is mentioned. I know it's not her name, but her story, her testimony, her witness is mentioned continually, because she done it out of what? Yes, brother. Out of a pure heart, out of the love that she had for God, she gave a sacrifice, and now everybody talks about it. Amen. And so that's what you and I need to see, that we need to follow the model of Jesus in sacrificial giving. And that we're not talking about trying to get your money. We're talking about God wants your heart. See, if God can get your heart, everything else will take care of itself. That's the only thing He wants. He wants your heart. And when He gets our heart, then all of a sudden, all those other little things start being revealed to us, that they were idols, things that we trusted in that had no power. Things that we had confidence in, and all those things. And when we really give all those things back to Jesus, we realize He's our source for everything. He's my breath. See, it doesn't matter. I may own the whole world. But if God don't give me that next breath, it doesn't matter. I'm going. I'm going to meet Him in the eternity. Amen. And so I need to be in this place. Now, turn with me over to the 13th chapter. Let's look at something. So we see that God wants a sacrifice like Jesus, a sacrifice that is just obedience. Don't let anybody guilt you into doing anything. You do what God would have you to do. Amen. Just serve God out of a pure heart, and give Him your best. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about it. Now, go with me to 13 and 11. And let's understand how Jesus makes this sacrifice possible. Hebrews 13:11, it's hard to find a place to start, but we'll start right here. It says, "For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp." In other words, that's what this book of Hebrews is about. Paul is trying to show the Hebrews how Jesus fulfilled and completed all of the rituals and the actions of the Old Testament. Verse 12. "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the camp," without the gate. Jesus, in other words, he was crucified on Golgotha for you and I, outside the city. Come on, you and I, we've got to stop putting our trust in this world. This world is going to burn up. It's going to go by the wayside. But Jesus is going to, in other words, God through Jesus, by the word spoken, he's promised us a new heaven and a new earth, because heaven and earth has both been tainted by sin, because Satan has been to heaven. Actually, he's, remember, all through the scripture, you can see he has access. And so we're going to get a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to be perfect. And we're going to see that new Jerusalem come down out of heaven. And God's going to come and live with us. Thank God for heaven. But see, we need to shake ourselves up. Everybody's waiting to go to heaven. We might ought to be ready for heaven to come to us. And the way it's going to come to us is we need to live it. Amen? Verse 13. "Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." In other words, we need to be like Mary. We need to be like John. They stood there outside the camp. And John, he stood there with Jesus. Everybody else ran. He stood there with Mary. And he got to what? He got to get further instructions from Jesus as Jesus is getting ready to give up the ghost for us. Right. And all of a sudden, he says to him, he says, "John, behold." And he says to his mother, "Behold your..." Come on. He gives some authority there. See, in the place of sacrifice... Now listen, by the Holy Ghost, by the place of sacrifice, there comes revelation, there comes an assignment that can never be received unless you're in that place. And you've got to get in that place to be able to receive it. And right now, God is calling us outside of this world. He's calling us to go into a place where we can see what Jesus has truly done for us. We can be that model to follow, and we can get a guiding hand. We can get a word from heaven that will show us how to fulfill our destiny before the coming of the Lord. Amen? Verse 14, "For we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." Come on, we know this earth is not our home. It's not. I'm trying to figure out how many things I'm trying to hold on to. I'll just be honest with you. I need the Lord's direction. I need his correction in my life, because why hold on to anything here that's going to burn? But when we plant it into the kingdom of God, it's ours forever and ever and ever. You realize there's going to be some great surprises when we stand before that Bema seat, when Jesus hands out some things. We're going to be amazed at the people. There are going to be people that you and I have never heard of, that their rewards is going to be so amazing because of what they prayed in the nighttime. Well, their faithfulness in that ministry, what they gave out of their heart in obedience that nobody else even knew anything about, but Jesus did. Come on, this is not our home. This is not your confidence. Don't worry about anything in this earth age. God said he would be, through Jesus, your shepherd. Amen? The shepherd provides everything that's needed for the sheep. It all is going to be well. Where am I at? All right. Verse 15, "By him," by Jesus, "therefore let us offer," come on, this is you and I, "by him let us therefore offer the sacrifice of praise to God," how often? continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You and I, the model to follow is that Jesus always brought the Father praise. And so you and I can be in that place and we can say, this ain't something I have to do. This is something that I'm empowered to do. I can do it because Jesus did it. And I have the same source in my life that Jesus had. I've got the Holy Spirit bringing revelation, bringing unction, bringing this fruit out of my life. Now notice what he says. He said, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. You and I, we have the ability. Can you imagine that Jesus, first of all, we have the power of attorney in because we get to use the name of Jesus as a legal term. We speak the name of Jesus over the sick, over the oppressed, over the possessed. Come on, we take authority over the devil. We get to use that name as the power of authority, but yet he lets me bring praise to his name.
Right.
See, as you were worshiping the Lord this morning, and you kept getting a little closer to the Lord and a little closer, and there was a manifestation of liberty and freedom as you were drawing nigh unto God and he was drawing nigh unto you. There was such a peace here and such a revelation that what you were doing this verse. Isn't that amazing? And the unity that come out of that, that's what we want. We want to take that out of these walls and we want to take it out into the world. We want to let that go to a group of people who've never experienced that. I guarantee you, if the world could experience what you and I felt during that worship service, they would say, wait a minute, what's my life all about? But see, the devil keeps them outside. So we've got to learn how to get to them. And I want you to believe with me, me praying with me. We've got to figure out how to get this message to the people. We've got to figure out a place, a location where we can have an opportunity to minister outside the gates, minister to somebody who can hear and can have an opportunity to see and feel what you're seeing and feeling. Amen. Verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, to be a sharer. This word communicate, it means to share, to give. Forget not, for with such sacrifices is God well pleased. See, when you give what God's gave you, it says that God's not just pleased, but he's, wow. We can please the Father? That's what we're looking for. That's what we're living for. To be able to please the Father. And so I've got to follow this model. I've got to realize that Jesus, he trusted God. Jesus, he didn't have any concern about anything. He just took everything to God in prayer. And when there was, and we got to realize that prayer is not just asking God for something. Prayer is decreeing what God's done promised. When Jesus needed to feed the 5,000, when he needed to feed the 4,000, we're talking about men, but then you got to add the women and the children to that. He did not ask for food. He blessed what he had. And he knew that when he asked God to bless what he had, he knew that it would be above and beyond. Come on. Each apostle, each disciple, however you want to say it, they got a basket to take home with them. Come on, in the 5,000 case, and then the other one, there was 7 baskets. In other words, God will always go above and beyond what's needed. Amen. And so we got to follow this model. Okay. Go back to Ephesians. Let's drop down this time and let's reread verse 8. We've uncovered an example of love, an example of sacrifice. Let's look at the example of light. Ephesians 5 and 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. He didn't say that you and I were in the dark. He said we were darkness. See, without Jesus, there's no such thing as light. Amen? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth became. Tuhu vahuhu. It came empty, dark. It was without form. It was without the shape of God. And God said, let there be light. Come on, let Jesus come forth. And so he spoke that forth. And so, but till you and I heard about Jesus, until we received the light into our life, we were darkness. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye light. Say, I'm light.
I'm light.
Oh, so a light doesn't know anything other than just to what? To shine. A light was created to shine. That's all you're created to do, is just to shine. Your power source is God. Through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, we're going to talk about that hopefully. I hope so. I pray so. But, tonight, how light is your bright? How bright is your light? We'll talk about that. We'll think about that if the Lord allows us to. But I want you to see that you are a light. Now, ye are light. So you need to expect to shine. Well, a light's not needed in the daytime. When do you need your light? It's not dark in the church. It's dark in the world. So we need to shine our light out in the world. Amen? All right. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you're a light in the Lord. Walk as children. Live as children of the light. So there's nothing more aggravating to me than when the electricity's off and I know it's off, but I go into a room and I turn on the switch anyway. You ever do that? You know the electricity's off, but still, okay. That's why the world has got so mad at the church. They've come to us different times to flip on the switch and there's nothing there. We got to change that in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, go with me to Matthew chapter 10. And let's look at this light example and how you and I can shine light. Right now, what do you think the biggest need in the world is right now? And that love is Jesus, right? And Jesus is light. Amen, Brother Zach. That's so true. The world is in darkness and they hate because they're in darkness. And so Brother Zach's right. They need the love of God. They need that light shined on that love. So let's look at this. Matthew chapter 10. Let's start reading in verse 24. Matthew chapter 10, verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Aren't you glad that we are serving disciples? Yes. Now see, what brings me comfort in this? A disciple is simply, mathetes in the Greek, it's simply a pupil, a learner. In other words, I'm learning every day. You're learning every day. Tomorrow we're going to look more like Jesus. We're going to sound more like Jesus. We're going to be able to do more things like Jesus because we're learning in those things. Verse 25, it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master. In other words, it's sufficient. And the servant as his Lord. Now, think about that just for a second. You and I were to be as our master, were to be as our Lord. Wow, the model to follow. How's he going to do it? Jesus is that light that shines in dark areas. He's that light that brings dead things alive because nothing can live in the dark. Amen. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? In other words, the more you and I look like Jesus, the more that we follow this model, the more the world is not going to like you because you're going to challenge them. You're going to shine light in the dark areas where they want it to be acceptable, and not just acceptable, but to be received and embraced. Don't you see what the enemy's doing right now? Okay, I know people don't like it when you get political, but you know that's what the problem is with the church. You need to go back and you need to read some history. The church was highly involved in the Revolutionary War. If it hadn't have been the church and the pastors teaching the people to get ready for the revolution, we wouldn't have an America today. Verse 26. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. How is these evil things that's happening? How are they going to come to light? You. letting Jesus shine in you. Right now we've got a whole generation that thinks it's okay to mutilate children. Come on now. When did that become acceptable? When did convenience become acceptable? And as uncomfortable as it is, you and I, we need to say, listen, in love, this is what the Bible says. In love. Now look, we're not picking on sin. I've got to watch myself. I'm a glutton. Gluttony is a sin. I can't eat certain things because they're addictive to me and I won't just eat a little bit of it. I'll become a glutton. So I'm not picking on sins. All right. But we got to look at where we're at in America right now. We got to look at where you've got 12 senators who say that they are, of the ones who support pro-life, and yet they go and they join with the ones who are against pro-life, the ones who say that they're poor for pro-marriage, but yet they go and they join with those who say that they're not for the marriage that you and I understand what God has brought forth in the Word of God. We need to shine light on it. If we don't shine light on it, nobody will. That's why all of a sudden, all of these sins has become so acceptable. Because we just allowed them just to slowly come in. You preach certain messages in a big church, you won't be back there. Because you get on people's toes, and this is their church, and this is the way that they want their church run, and God isn't there. Okay, I don't mean to make everybody uncomfortable, but here's why we came here. Verse 27. Jesus said, what I tell you in the darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye from the housetops. Sin is sin. And I know we need to preach heaven more than we preach hell. And I know that we need to preach grace more than we preach sin. And so I understand all of those things. But there is a time and a place for everything. And right now we're in a season where there is a... Thank you, Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Okay. What do they do in hurricane season? In hurricane season, when they see a tropical storm, it starts out a depression, turns into a tropical storm, and then as it's working its way into a hurricane, what do? They form out a pattern, a model, a storm model, and they track that storm according to the model. And when that storm starts coming, they prepare the people that's in its path where they can what? They can either endure through the storm. They can board up their windows in their homes. They can get food and water and supplies to make it through the storm. Or they can, if it's going to be so deadly, they can get pull out of that situation and go to a place of safety. Understand what the Holy Ghost is saying this morning. If we don't have somebody to make a model, we're in storm warnings. There is storms coming all around us. Did you see? They just gave away another $91 billion. How are you going to pay for it? How are you going to come up with that money? Come on, understand what they're doing. They're trying to break the back of America. They want to destroy us before the time. And now we're saying we're going to pay up 200 other countries because we have brought forth global warming. We're in a mess. You know what the Bible says? And this makes people mad. The Bible is very clear. God Almighty set the foundation of the ocean. It's not going to rise until God takes his hand off of it if he wants it to rise. I don't care what happens. I don't care about the glacier of death that they're talking about that's fixing to fall in the sea. God is my source. God is your source. Amen. Come on, hold on to your faith. Hold on to what you know. Don't worry about the signs that you're seeing in the earth and the natural. Worry about what God's trying to show you in the spiritual, what it really means for the church and your role and your job in these last days. Amen? What I tell you in the darkness, that speak you in the light. What you hear in the ear, that preach you on the housetops. Verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and in hell. Come on, you and I, we got to be this light in a dark world. And we got to reverence God. And we got to reverence God to the point, because we realize that people are going to go to hell. The Bible says, Isaiah prophesied, he said, hell is enlarging itself. What do you think is causing the earthquakes? No, come on, get serious with me. God does everything in the natural to show us something of the spiritual. So we need to stand firm. Be that example of love. Be that example of sacrifice. But be that example of light. And let an alternative. See, they call this lifestyle that has taken over the whole world an alternative lifestyle. Well, let's give people an alternative to a lie and give them the truth. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father? Verse 30, but the hairs of your head are all numbered. Verse 31, fear ye not, therefore ye are of more value than many sparrows. Verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess, shall, this word confess, it means to covenant. Those who shall covenant me before men, him will I confess, will I covenant also before my Father which is in heaven. How can they know to speak a confession, make a covenant with Jesus unless you shine the light on it? Regardless of what everybody's saying, everybody ain't serving God. Not everybody's going to heaven. Not everybody's bringing heaven to earth because they're serving a form, a similitude. Remember, Lucifer, his name means bright star, light bearer, depending on what terminology you want to use. But he is the prince of darkness, because when he left God, he turned into right opposite of what God had for him. And so he's deceiving people. He's bringing people into a place where they can't see the truth. But say I'm a light bearer. Come on, you are. You are. And so I want to be the model to follow. Now, what Jesus done, Jesus dealt with the religious people. He dealt with them abruptly, very scruffly, and very strongly. But people who were just living their life, who had no opportunity to understand what happened to them, he come to them and he loved them enough to meet them where they're at and to get a hold of their heart. And so you can do that. I can do that. We can do that as a body of Christ. We can let God use us to get a hold of their heart. And we can tell them like Jesus loved on the lady that was taken in adultery. And he said, does anybody condemn you? And she said, no, Lord. He said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. That's our message. We don't see people as a sin. The world does. The devil does. That's why he holds them in there. We see them as what God wants to see them. Saved, born again, delivered. But they got to have the light. Amen? I'll close with this thought. Brother Corey, I think you'll like this. This is a true story. In October of 2019, there was a man named Tyler Moon. He's 25 years old. He, at the peak of physical condition, he got out and he run 3 to 5 times a week, just making himself stronger and stronger. Anyway, in Minneapolis that October, he decided to run a 10-mile run. And so he loves Jesus and he wanted to witness for Jesus. And so he kept figuring out, how can I make this run about Jesus? And so he thought about it, prayed about it. And I can't remember the exact number. You can look it up yourself. But it's something like his number was like 23,405 or 409 or something like that, whatever it was. But that's really close. On his bib that had his number on it, he decided to have Jesus saves. put above that. And so he's so excited because he loves to run, but he wants to witness for the Lord at the same time. And so he gets out there and he's running this marathon, and everything's going good until he hits the 8th mile. When he hits the 8 mile point, all of a sudden, there is an intense pain that comes across his left side, comes through his chest. Bam, he falls down with a heart attack. And people that all around, they see what's happened. And there was another runner that actually was just ahead of him, and he heard the commotion, and he turned and come back. And he started giving him CPR. And he actually got his heart beating back and into rhythm, and helped him get in the ambulance, and he lived to run another race. See, the man's name that breathed life into him was Jesus Bono. Jesus saves. So what's my point? My point is that sometimes you and I, the testimony that we're going to give, we got to realize that we need it first. And when we get everything Jesus has first in our life, come on, we let the love come in our life. We let the sacrifice be real. We let the light shine out of us. Then all of a sudden, then we're truly what God called us to be. Amen? Say the model, I will follow. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much for this wonderful group of people. I thank you that by the power of the Holy Ghost, that you dropped this message down in my heart. In a moment of time, I thank you, Lord, for truth and reality. I thank you for the ability to apply this word this morning and to leave here free, to leave here excited and expecting to be able to work and walk in the truth of the Word of God. Lord, I ask you right now that you touch every person, and Lord, anything that they see crumbling in their life, anything that isn't doesn't seem to be stable, let them be reminded of that Colossians 1. That Jesus, by him, all things consist, and that he's holding everything together. He is that glue that holds everything together. Let them speak that over their life, over this family, over the situation. Those here that might be here this morning, and they see people in their life that needs love, that needs a sacrifice, that needs light. Lord, let them see that they're the person that you've called, because you wouldn't show them a need if you wouldn't wanting to use them in that need. Lord, let it be. Touch us and draw us. Help us yield to you and receive strength from you like never before. We ask you in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning and say, Lord, here I am. I love you. I worship you. And I want to be everything you'd have me to be. I want to be following you in a deeper level, in a fullness. I want to give you honor and glory, and I want to be that example to those who are in a lost, dark, dying world. Would you come? Or if you just need him just to reassure you and to wrap his love around you, to hold some things together, come and receive from him this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.